You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. This is, I guess we could call this Through the Bible for the Serious Bible Student. When I was younger and started following Messiah, I listened to a lot of Christian radio. We didn't have internet back then, if you believe that. Yes, indeed. So I listened to the radio, and there was an old guy who came on. He's passed on now, but he was a corporate minister, pastor of a church down south, and he would do about 20 minutes a day of a Bible study, and it was called Through the Bible, and it took 5 years to get through it, because you had 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, or whatever. And so we're a little more serious here, or at least I am. We're going to do 2 hours a day, basically four 20 to 25 minute segments. Whatever I can squeeze in here. And I'm in a little bit of a bigger hurry myself than getting through it in 5 years for some reason. I want to go through it in a few years, and then I want to go through it again. So this is really my second time through it, and I haven't got through it two times yet, but I'm working on the second time. It's been kind of slow going. I've had a lot of other things going on besides just doing a radio broadcast, but here we are. I like to do these live, so when you're listening to this, you can know that it wasn't done in a closed studio and perfected and all that. This was done live on the air as I'm sitting here right now going through the Bible, and there are live listeners right now. And I don't like to date the program. I try to keep it so that if someone listens to it 20 years from now, that they will be just as edified and it will be just as applicable then. So I don't do a dated program. I might do dated programs, but they won't become really a part of this series. So I'm not going to give you a date. That's right. Sometimes you can guess. But right now, it's being done on a live broadcast, whether you're most people will hear it on a rebroadcast or a podcast later anyway. Live audience is not that big. I figure most people are out working hard and will listen to it later. And that being the case, I believe I have many listeners in China. So for all of you there listening in China, you know, peace be with you as you become situated and seated in heavenly places in Messiah, and many blessings to you as you listen to this broadcast over there in China. I get most of my downloads come from China, unbelievably, and I have to believe that this is the underground church in China, because this certainly is not conducive to the state-sponsored church in China. And knowing that the Chinese people over there listen to these broadcasts, and they get them off of popular music sites, because the popular music sites in China just scour the internet for MP3, which most of is music. And so you're listening on sites like Baidu. Not certain I'm saying that right or how the Chinese pronounce it, but Baidu.com over there in China is a popular music site, which I find the majority of my broadcasts are pulled from. So perhaps people scouring and looking for popular new music in China are getting the gospel accidentally. And I just hope that they're sharing each time with each download to a podcast is being shared with 100 other people. So many blessings to you all over there in China. And know that we're here working for you, and we don't expect anything from you except that you serve the Almighty, that you serve our Messiah, Yahshua, with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and with everything that you have and you're able to. And we'll see you in the resurrection and the to come. Let's jump back in here. The children of Israel getting the instructions during the 70-year desolation from the Almighty, speaking through their prophet Ezekiel, in the land by the river Chebar, Tel Aviv, in the land of Babylon. Yes, that settlement for the Hebrew people there, that when the Babylonians took some of them captive. And Ezekiel being the prophet of the Almighty, prophesying and giving them instructions. He said, "Now these are the names of the tribes," chapter 48, verse 1. "These are the names of the tribes from the north end to the coast of the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazar Anan, the border of Damascus northward, to the coast of Hamath, for these are his sides east and west, a portion for Dan. And by the border of Dan from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Asher. And by the border of Asher from the east side, even unto the west side, a portion for Naphtali. And by the border of Naphtali, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Manasseh. And by the border of Manasseh, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side even unto the west side, a portion for Reuben. And by the border of Reuben, from the east side unto the west side, a portion for Judah. And by the border of Judah, from the east side unto the west side, shall be the offering which you'll offer, which you shall offer of the 25,000 reeds in breadth and in length as one of the other parts, from the east side unto the west side, and the sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. The oblation that you shall offer unto Yahuwah shall be 25,000 in length, and of 10,000 in breadth. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation toward the north, 25,000 in length, and toward the west, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the east, 10,000 in breadth, and toward the south, 25,000 in length, and the sanctuary of the Lord of Yahuwah shall be in the midst thereof. It shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And this oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. And over against the border of the priests of the Levites shall have 25,000 in length, and 10,000 in breadth. All the length shall be 25,000, and the breadth 10,000. And they shall not sell it, they shall not sell of it, neither exchange nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for that is holy unto the Lord. And Yahuwah, the 3068 there, by name, the Almighty. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 25,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling, and for suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. And these shall be the measures thereof. The north side, 4,500, and the south side, 4,500, and on the east side, 4,500, and the west side, 4,500, and the suburbs of the city shall be toward the north, 2,050, and toward the south, 250, and toward the south, 250, and toward the east, 250, and toward the west, 250, and the residue in length over against the oblation of the holy portion shall be 10,000 eastward and 10,000 westward, and it shall be over against the oblation of the holy portion, and the increase thereof shall be for food unto them that serve the city. And they that serve the city shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. All of the oblation shall be 25,000 by 25,000. You shall offer the holy oblation foursquare with the possession of the city. And the residue shall be for the prince, on the one side and on the other, of the holy oblation, and of the possession of the city over against the 25,000, the oblation toward the east border, the westward over against the 25,000 toward the west border, over against the portion for the prince, it shall be the holy oblation, and the sanctuary of the house shall be in the midst thereof. Moreover, from the possession of the Levites and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that which is the prince's, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. And here we're speaking of the king. As for the rest of the tribes, from the east side unto the west side, Benjamin shall have a portion. And by the border of Benjamin, from the east side unto the west side, Simeon shall have a portion. And by the border of Simeon, from the east side unto the west side, Issachar shall have a portion. And by the border of Issachar, from the east side unto the west side, Zebulun shall have a portion. And by the border of Zebulun, from the east side unto the west side, Gad a portion. And by the border of Gad, at the south side, southward, the border shall be even from Tamar unto the waters of strife in Kadesh, and the river toward the great sea. This is the land which you shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel. So each lot, whoever showed up of that tribe, they would divide that land according to that tribe by lot to the people, to the families of those tribes. And so they would find out how many lots there were, and then they would draw it by lot, which we get the word lottery from. So that's how they divide it up, so that nobody would get their choice, but they would all be, everyone would be inherited by lot, okay, by a lottery, basically. And then once you had your lot, if you wanted to trade with someone else, I guess you could trade your lot with someone else. That would all be fair, as far as I can tell. But that's how they did it, by a lottery. So everyone got an even share. Okay. This is a land which you shall divide by lot to the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith Yahuwah, or Adonai Yahweh. Chapter 48, verse 30. And these are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel. Three gates northward, one gate of Reuben, one gate of Judah, one gate of Levi, and at the east side, 4,500, and three gates, one the gate of Joseph, the one of gate of Benjamin, and one gate of Dan, and the south side, 4,500 measures, and three gates, one gate of Simeon, one gate of Issachar, one gate of Zebulun, and the west side, 4,500, and with their three gates, the gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, and one gate of Naphtali. It was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be Yahuwah is there. Interesting name for a city. Yahuwah is there. And perhaps that is, perhaps that's what Jerusalem means. Yerushalayim, in the Hebrew, perhaps it means that the Lord is there. Yahuwah is there. But that's what it says. That the name of the city from that day shall be Yahuwah is there. And that is the last word of Ezekiel chapter 48 and verse 35. Thus we end our study in Ezekiel. So I found that very interesting. And wanted to discuss Ezekiel in prophecy and history and its place. You know, what have I learned? I'm going to share with you what I've learned, taking as much in as I can, weighing it against everything else I've learned and everywhere else in the scripture, is that the prophecy of Ezekiel is not about the days I'm living in as pertaining to exact details of prophecy. However, the prophecy of Ezekiel as it pertains to judgment, first in Israel and all of the nations round about, perhaps pertain to the way the Heavenly Father deals with nations in history and throughout history, and I see this throughout history. that the Heavenly Father has dealt with nations and continues to deal with nations in judgment, and how he wields the sword in judgment, one nation, a godly nation against an ungodly nation, against another ungodly nation, or against a nation called by his name at that time. I compare that with how he used Israel when they went into the land and they were obedient for a time. He used Israel as his nation, as his sword in judgment. But there came a change here. We notice that now the king had part in the temple service. Israel was no longer to be used, his holy nation no longer to be used in judgment against the other nations. So we find that the people, that his ecclesia, his holy nation, is not to be used in warfare or in judgment against other nations. We do not go forth to war to use the arms of warfare, but our warfare is spiritual. It's a spiritual warfare, and we are not to go and force people, see, like the false church goes forward, or did in the past. They force people, and they made kings and took kings down, and they used one nation against another and played God, but they are not the Almighty. We are not like Islam. They go out and they execute judgment and they kill people that will not convert to their faith. It is not so with us. We see that change there in the establishment of Jerusalem as a nation after the 70 years desolation. There's that change has taken place. Israel is never to be used as a sword in judgment in the nations of the earth. But the Heavenly Father now uses one nation against another nation as a sword in his hand. But there is a difference now. The king who wielded the sword in Babylon, and even before that, the judges and the nation of Israel, when they were under the judges, they were wielded as his sword in judgment against the nations round about. Now the king has a hand in the priest temple sacrifice system. And that is looking forward to the Messiah, the King of Kings, in that position of high, as King of Kings and High Priest, making that ultimate sacrifice. Now, Counter-Reformation, as eschatology, has taken some of the prophecies of Ezekiel, which are still future, that is the Gog and Magog prophecies, and they've tried to squeeze them into their Counter-Reformation 70th week of Daniel, which is false prophecy, and that 70-year tribulation period. But we find out, if we go to the book of Revelation in chapter 20, that the proper place for the Gog and Magog prophecy is at the end of the seventh millennium, or the millennial reign of the Messiah. So they take that one out of its place and they put it in their place to try to make it more real. And the Gog and Magog war and the Battle of Armageddon, and they're going to try to place that in the 70th, in their phony 7-year tribulation period, which they're mocking up to bring to pass. And you will want to learn more about that. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and learn more about that. But study it for yourself. Study Revelation chapter 20, which I believe is the true interpretation, which puts the Gog and Magog in its place. Because if you try to put Gog and Magog in the place where the futurists put it, in or at the end of the 70th week, of their interpretation of Daniel's 70th week, which is their false 7-year tribulation period, it doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit there. But it does fit perfectly at the end of the millennial reign of the Messiah, when Satan will be loosed a little while for a season to deceive the nations. And we've learned a little bit about what the millennial reign of the Messiah is going to be like. This has been my understanding, and that understanding has just become clarified through reading the scripture, that there will be the resurrection when the Messiah returns. All of the dead in Messiah And that is from the beginning, Adam and Eve. Okay? The trump will sound, and it won't be after they build the temple. This is going to happen in about 60 years. There you have to look at another study. And I'm not the only one that's come up with this. It's not the Usher chronology. The Usher chronology is wrong, and I'm just going to say it plainly. The Usher chronology is wrong by the scripture. The reason that the Usher chronology, Archbishop Usher, chronology became widely accepted because it was published in with the King James Version by many of the denominations of the day. And I guess the Archbishop of the Orthodox Church of the East or something. I forget what he was the Archbishop of, but Usher, he wasn't a Catholic, but I don't know how closely he was related with Catholicism or anything like that. But the Usher chronology was published with early versions by some of the denominations of the King James Version, so it became very popular. There was another chronology given, and that was by Jonathan Lightfoot. And I didn't learn about him until just a few weeks ago, actually. And I found out that he came to the same conclusion that I've come to, just totally out of the scripture, you know, on my own. Of course, with a little help from other studies and things that added little bits and pieces. And when I found Lightfoot's, I found an error in mine because the sojourn of Israel, or I should say Abraham, began when he was 75, and I had it down as 70. That was a typo error. So I had a five-year error that I learned that I was able to pinpoint through him, and voila, I came up to within a year of him. He has the year zero on the Common Era calendar, Roman Common Era calendar, as 2329. I have it as 2328. So close enough for me. So I found someone else who agrees with me. And you can find that study there at my website. And I do it a little differently because what I'm looking for is the year from creation. And I'm not so interested in what year it was BCE before the Common Era, or BC, what year was it? As Usher came up with 4004 and Lightfoot came up with 2329. I came up with 2328. I know what year it was. It was the year one. That was the year of creation. So my view is a little different. But yes, what it was according to the Roman calendar. That's what most people want to know. But that gives us the correct year of what it is according to his calendar, starting with the year one, the year of creation. And we find out that we're about 5940 today. So you'll find that study interesting there at crosstheborder.org. And the study, the name of the study is What Year Is It? Does anybody really know? And I outline every scripture verse there. And with some discussion, it doesn't take a whole lot of discussion because the timeline is pretty clear in the scripture there. And the Heavenly Father has given us a dating so we can know about what year it is. And we have about 60 years left according to that. So I hope you visit my website there, crosstheborder.org. Be sure to subscribe there so that you can watch the HD versions of the chapters of the Greatest Prophecy DVD, and be sure to comment. And any questions, comments there, just to communicate that you're listening and you appreciate this if you do. We'll see you next time on Cross the Border.